What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
I've been a priest 62 years, and I really believe we're probably doing what we're supposed to do during Holy Week, but it seems like the cross is so ignominious, so overwhelming, that we don't see its power. And today we have the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, that the real truth about the cross is that it was the instrument, the tool that brought about our salvation. God, and just when you listen to the words of the gospel today, it's an entirely new look at salvation. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and He came into the world right from the beginning. This is in the third chapter of John's Gospel, where he's teaching us. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And the Son of Man must be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not be lost, but may have eternal life. And the way they're going to have eternal life is he must be lifted up as the serpent in the desert was lifted up. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. And what was the instrument by which the world would be saved? It was going to be the cross, that he had to be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. I would like to read that from Moses and from the text so that we see what Jesus was referring to when he's was speaking to Nicodemus. And so we read, it's in the book of Numbers, the 21st chapter, beginning with the 4th verse. "On the way through the wilderness, the people lost patience. They spoke against God and against Moses. 'Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is neither bread nor water here. We are sick of this ungodly food.' At this, Moses sent fire, at this, God sent fiery serpents among them. Their bite brought death to many in Israel. The people came and said to Moses, 'We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Intercede for us with the Lord to save us from these serpents.' Moses interceded for the people, and the Lord answered him, 'Make a fiery serpent and put it on a standard. If anyone is bitten and looks at it, he shall live.' So Moses fashioned a bronze serpent, which he put on a standard. And if anyone was bitten by a serpent, he looked at the bronze serpent and lived." so that the power of this serpent on a standard, which is being held up, is now looked upon as that power. And St. Paul, in this Mass of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, teaches us also the power of the cross and the power of Jesus, who was nailed to that cross. And the second chapter of Philippians, it's the very famous one about kenosis, how Christ, who is God, emptied himself and took the form of a slave and had death on a cross. Not only did he die as a human, but he died on a cross. And that was the reason, actually, for his being exalted, which is the name of today's feast. His state was divine. Yet Christ, Jesus, did not cling to his equality with God, but emptied himself. That's the kenosis. He emptied himself of his Godhead to assume the condition of a slave and became a man. And being as all men are, he was humbler even yet, even to accepting death, death on a cross. But God raised him high and gave him the name which is above all other names, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord. Today, we're going to celebrate that power, the victorious victory, the exaltation of the Holy Cross. I really believe that when we look at the cross, it was the most ignominious way that Romans had of putting people to death. When there was nothing more cruel, even Hitler, when he wanted to kill, he did gas chambers. And when Stalin was killing, and the way they killed, and the horror of the, or Mao Zedong, there's no one who was more cruel than the Romans. And because of this, almost as if they didn't want to use this standard, Christians did not use the cross as a standard. They used the fish, ichthus. Jesus, if you still see the sign IHS on vestments or on churches, and when in the catacombs you still see the sign, you don't see the cross, you see the fish. The way by which Christians would know one another was that's taken from what Jesus told Peter, I will make you fishers of men, so that if you were in the church, it was like a fish. And the ichthus means, which is fish, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. They were the Greek words for that. But then St. Helena, in 326, discovered the true cross and was bringing these instruments back to the center, so that now the churches, and from then on, when churches were being established, they were dominated by the cross. The cross has taken its place. The true cross and these relics were taken by the Persians, and now they've been returned. And this, the relic of the true cross, is in the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. But when we come to this sign of the cross, that it was so horrible. When we just think of what it was, when Pilate, when at the trial of Jesus, was first going to condemn him, he rather give him a scourging and a beating, and we kind of don't realize. We just recently discovered the Roman scourge. But Jesus was naked, and he was scourged from the back of his neck to the balls of his feet by a scourge. And the Roman scourge was not the Jewish scourge, which Paul had used on him. It was made of lead balls and sheep bone that dug right into the flesh. So his back was a bloody mess, even to begin with, which sometimes could even kill a man. But he withered this, and he was a very strong man and a very powerful man. And then the cross that he bore, because in the Middle Ages, when they have him carrying a cross, it's both the vertical beam and the cross beam. But the way the Romans crucified was they had a vertical beam set in certain places. And they had these, and sometimes they would crucify. The day Jesus was crucified, there were three crucified. They had three of these beams in the place called Golgotha. A cross beam, which would weigh about 200 pounds, it was actually a tree trunk. And so the cross that he was going to bear was the crossbar of what he was going to be crucified on. And the one crucified carried his own beam to the place of crucifixion. From Pilate's chambers, and this way from Pilate's all the way up the hill of Calvary. I walked that hill. It's called the Via Dolorosa. And it really is like a steady uphill. And with nothing on my shoulders, it was a steady uphill climb. And just going slowly with other pilgrims. The Jesus carrying this cross needed help to carry it. It says in the scriptures that Simon of Cyrene assisted him. He was so weakened, and he fell three times on his way to Calvary. When he arrived there, the nails that the crucifier, because he was a professional, he knew exactly where to put the nail. It was in his hand where he would be sustained, not in the middle. There was no bone there to sustain him on the cross. A nail was put through the hand of the crossbar, and then the left and the right hand were nailed to the bar. Soldiers would put that bar into that vertical beam. While then the crucified was hanging on the cross, his feet were nailed to the cross. And there he hung for 3 hours. Those nails in the feet were very important because the crucified did not die from bleeding to death. Mercifully, he was going to die, and he hung there for 3 hours, Jesus did, and he died from asphyxiation. Because he wasn't able to push up on his feet and release the air, he breathed in and finally died when he was unable to breathe out from suffocation. He said 7 words and he died. The cross of Jesus Christ. Then a soldier, seeing that he was dead, but to assure his death, because they wanted to take his body down, plunged his spear into his side, and out came blood and water. That's the heart that I really believe is the most important symbol for us in our day. When we look at the bloody cross, we do not see what is in this gospel today. And that is that the love that God has for us. What teaches us the love is what's in the heart of Jesus. His heart was pierced, and out came blood and water. Water, the sign of our baptism, and blood, the sign of the Eucharist. When we see today that we go into the Mass and the priest holds up the Eucharist. And he says, behold the Lamb of God, Jesus, who is the Savior of the world, is the Lion of Judah, who is the Son of David, has become the Lamb of God. When the Lamb's blood was sprinkled on the Jews in their Old Testament sign and figure, it was through that blood that the Jewish families were passed over by the avenging angel, and the death occurred to all the firstborn of the Egyptians, both of men and of beasts. The saving Lamb's blood is that Lamb's blood of the New Testament, which is our saving blood. What does that mean as he holds up to us at Mass, behold the Lamb of God? Today, in this feast, Jesus is being seen for what not so much bloodied and beaten and overcome, but triumphing. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are we who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Now we're going to eat this Lamb. Today, the Jews are celebrating Rosh Hashanah, the head of the new year. And in a few days, they'll celebrate Yom Kippur. We are celebrating the exaltation of the cross in memory of the Passover. And we are celebrating in a new way the death of this Lamb, holding him up as Moses held the serpent in the desert. And anyone who looks at him will be saved. What power there is in that Lamb. I'll read again what Jesus says to Nicodemus. No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. When you look, behold the Lamb of God, he is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And you, who he has claimed in baptism, are united with your head because of the water that has bathed you and united you to him. The Son of Man who is in heaven, and the Son of Man must be lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. And as he's being lifted up, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are we who are called to the supper of the Lamb. The blood that you will receive is from his heart, the Eucharist, which you are receiving today, that gives you eternal life. What power is in this Eucharist? It gives you new life. When we see in our day and we go to a dying person, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. By that power, he conquered death. Death has no more dominion over us. The cross is the symbol of conquest, victory over death. No more death. You will never die. When they killed those 21 Egyptians and they thought they were doing away with Jesus in these, they can't kill because he conquered death. There is no death for us. We will live eternally. Death has been conquered. What man is there who could become more powerful than a man who knows he will not die because of the cross? The other day when I was with a family, they were being so harassed by the demons. It was by the sign of the cross, by the crucifix. in the name of Jesus and by the sign of the cross, I bind you, I chain you, and I silence you. You wicked spirits, in the name of Jesus, the power over Satan has been broken by the cross. The cross is victorious. The cross is power. How important it is when we recognize and begin to understand the power and exaltation of the cross. How much more reverently we will begin to make that sign over ourselves. When we go into the house of God and put our hand in the holy water and pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit with the sign of the cross. In the cross, I have been saved. It's the sign of salvation, the cross. If I be lifted up, I will call all. I did not come to condemn, but to save the entire world. When we bless ourselves before meals and after meals, when we bless, we will begin to understand more fully this power that is in the cross. Today, when we have our crosses that we bear, the crosses that are in our house, the symbols of victory, it is by the cross. Many times we look at the cross and we just see that Good Friday experience, suffering and dying. No, the cross is really, I believe, one of the ones that I would love to point out to everyone who is listening to this program. It's the very meaning of this program, the kingship of Jesus Christ crucified. When he was on the cross and his heart was pierced, the heart of Jesus is the love of Jesus. A pierced heart overcomes all power in the world. There is nothing more powerful than love. Love is the greatest force in the world. Love is what the heart of Jesus teaches us. Love is what the cross is all about. God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. Love is what brought Jesus to the world. And love is what brought Jesus to the cross. It is love that we have when we have the heart of Jesus. We have to be reminded again that the cross is not suffering and death. The cross is resurrection and life. Today, hail to the cross of Jesus Christ, and let us exalt the cross, for the cross is the sign of the reign of Jesus Christ over the entire world. When you see a cross on the church, it is the victory sign of Christ's conquest of Satan and death and sin.
Do we appreciate, Monsignor, the fact that we actually, in our baptism, we sign not only ourselves that we're signed, but we sign our children with that instrument of death? I mean, it is
Powerful. It is
very, very significant. It's not just something that we use as a decoration, is it?
And use that sign frequently on them. To remind, you know, when you, that was, that you're the first ones in the ceremony that blesses the children, the father and the mother and the godparents. Yes, you have that power, and it is a tremendous power to claim them for Jesus Christ.
Now, I may say something that sounds kind of radical, but I couldn't help but feeling when you were, especially towards the end of your talk, this, what I heard you saying was love will kill you. Love can kill
yes.
you,
yes.
can it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's a death we should embrace, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes. It conquers everything. And because our tendencies are always to self-centeredness. And God's life is always to take us out of ourselves. And that's why we had been lost in self-centeredness, in egocentricity. We were just hopelessly lost that all of the things we would ever do would only take us back to ourselves, which was our destruction and which was hell. We were caught in damnation. Right from the time we were born, we were going to be so self-centered, and that force was there. We were inoculated. That force was changed by our baptism, by our confirmation, by Jesus, by the cross. He changed that, and he killed in us the old man. And what is it to? It's death to the old and life to the new. And that's what brings us eternal life and not eternal damnation. Yes, it's death to the old, the life of demons and sin and eternal damnation, and life. And that's really what we have in a civilization of love, is a civilization of life.
Monsignor, do you think it, and I don't want to say it's just, the United States because of our abundance and our tremendous blessings, that in some ways we might have been spoiled, but maybe this is experienced in every human heart, that we would prefer to grab a nice, clean, sanitized cross of our choosing as opposed to a rugged, nasty piece of wood that we see right in front of us. And that wood might be, I would rather go and run and do some stuff for the parish as opposed to visiting my mother who is in a nursing home. Or I would rather not forgive somebody who has hurt me. I'd rather go and do something else. We'd rather grab a cross we see in the store as opposed to one that has been placed right in the middle of our, right in front of us. Do you think that is the challenge?
Yes, yes. What is basic to what you're saying is I want control. I would rather have it my way. I think Frankie, what was his name?
Sinatra.
Sinatra. I did it my way. That's the perfect sign of the way the world does things. I did it my way. And God is saying, no. Now, it may take God some time with Frank to change that tune. But sooner or later, all of us, and maybe he did in this life, or maybe he'll do it in the life hereafter, but God is saying, no, you will do it my way. I know what's best for you. And it is love. Everything else brings you back to yourself. And you are not enough for yourself. If you want to do it, and every child is so centered that I want to do it my way. And we are so inoculated with that from our grandparents, Adam and Eve, that that's the way we keep going back to that. And Jesus is saying, no, I want you to do it this way. And it brings a cross. We come across so that sooner or later we have to do it his way. And that's what love will do for us.
Final thought, Monsignor?
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. God bless.